Awesome. Welcome to church. Amen. Today, we're beginning a new message series called Stories. Somebody say stories. Stories are life transforming. Amen. People have been changed because of hearing stories. So today, we have a lady who was saved, gave her life to Jesus right here at this church. And we're going to tell her story. Her name is Alexandria Pappas. So let's put our hands together and welcome Alexandria Pappas. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's make her feel welcome. Come on. Woohoo! You can sit. Your mic is on. Welcome, Alexandria.
Thank you.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
That's very normal, by the way. I'd be scared if you were not. Awesome, awesome. So we're just going to dive right into this, right? We're just going to dive right in. Who is Alexandria? Where did you grow up? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in Belmont, Massachusetts, with my parents. I have an older brother and an older sister. And I grew up Catholic. Very traditional. And we had to go to church every Sunday.
Wow. Wonderful. Belmont. Where's Belmont, by the way? Excuse me, I don't even know where Belmont is.
It's next to Watertown, Lexington.
Watertown, Lexington. Man, that's upper crust up there. That's where the richies stay, right? So you grew up rich. Is that okay to say that? So you grew up rich.
Yeah, I didn't consider myself to be rich, though. Yeah. I thought everybody lived the way I did.
Mm. Wow. Wonderful. So after that, tell us, where did you go to school and kids, family, all that?
Yeah. I went to Belmont Schools, and then I transferred for high school to Winchester and moved back to Belmont, my hometown. I actually went into nursing and took care of my mother that was diagnosed with cancer. She passed away at the age of 65. And my father, shortly after that, got lung cancer. He passed away at 85. So my parents were my whole entire life. I didn't know anything else but my parents. I honored them, and I was more or less the good girl. Did what I was told to do. And I did it without hesitation.
Wow. And how old were you when you lost your parents, and how was that? Man, losing parents is tough. And losing both parents,
yes,
in a short period of time.
Yes.
How did you cope with life? What helped you? How was that like?
Well, I was a devoted Catholic. I went to church every Sunday. When my mother passed away, I left the church. And I believed that there was no God, because what God would take my mother from me? And then I went back to church. I started praying and asked God to help me with my life, to get me through the next stages. Then my father was diagnosed with cancer, and I completely lost faith at that point. I lived a very sheltered life. My sister, God rest her soul, she passed away from cancer too at the age of 64. So if I can get past the age of 65, God is good.
You will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody. Everybody, stretch your hands. We're going to pray right here in the name of Jesus. We break that spirit of cancer in this family. We declare and we speak over you in agreement in this place, according to Matthew 18:19, that you will live and declare the goodness of God. You will not die, and that curse is broken in your family now in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Yeah. So what happened after that, after all this? You lost your faith. And man, that's tough. Being honest here, you get to moments where you feel like, God, do you exist, right? Are you there? You know, like you said, how could you take my mother away? But how many people know God does not take people away, right? sickness is not of the Lord. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, and life happens and things happen. But thank God for Jesus. He's defeated death. Thank God for those. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's celebrate even those we're going to see again because of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So what happened after that? What life, marriage, and kids. How many kids do you have?
I have 3 children, 2 boys and a girl.
Nice. What ages?
24 is my son Anthony. Nicholas is 18, and my daughter is 13 now.
Oh, wonderful.
Her name is Sophia.
Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. How long? How long have you been married, or how long were you married?
I was married for 20 plus years. I met a gentleman that came into my life when my parents were sick, and thought that he was God sending to me. But unfortunately, he was very abusive. I lived an emotional, mental, and physical relationship, and I kept it to myself. I thought it was normal. I was ashamed. I did not have my parents to talk to. My life was very private growing up, and I felt that if I did talk about it, something was wrong with me. Soon I found out that my husband left me, abandoned me and my 3 children. I came home from work one night, very late, didn't want to be married anymore. Left his wedding ring next to our wedding picture, no note, no nothing, and didn't talk to him for about 6 weeks. I didn't know what was up, what was down. Prior to that, I had a home down the Cape that my parents left me for my inheritance, and I sold that Cape house and opened up a business for my husband. It was an electrical and security company. We were best of Boston and number 1 on Angie's list. So I didn't know at that point when he left whether he was going to pay the bills, how I was going to survive. I had no idea. I dropped to my knees one night and, asked God to help me and to lead me to where I'm supposed to be and what I was going to do for my children. Because my intention was when I got married, it was for life. It was death do us part. And he didn't hold up to that bargain. So I was angry. I was upset. I felt abandoned. I felt less than. And I got divorced. My divorce went through on my birthday, which was March 4th. But I believe now that God has a better plan for me.
Amen. Wow. Yeah. It's amazing to hear that after everything you've gone through, you can still believe that God has a plan for you.
Yes,
he does. Just think that's powerful, because life happens, and I just believe what happens with many people is you end up giving up completely. I want you to know that the devil wants to break your spirit. He wants you to give up completely. And I'm so glad to hear that he hasn't broken you. You're still here. You're yes. still believing in the plan of God. And so we just declare over you today that the best days for you are ahead of you in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody declare it. Somebody speak it in Jesus' name. There's life after divorce because of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wow, wow. And so in the midst of all this, man, wow. And I remember seeing you this time when you were going through the divorce. I was out shopping for my wife. I was buying boots for my wife. I was sneaking looking for some high boots for my wife. And I met her in that store. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you should get those boots and get those boots. She gave me a lecture on how to buy boots. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, I saw her so broken. She lost her voice. I never knew you can be so broken and depressed to a point of not having your voice. She couldn't even speak.
Yes.
That's how depressed she was and just sad she was going through the court, going through the courtroom and all that.
Yes.
That process. Yes. People go through that. Could you speak a little more about that? Because Christians, I want you to know that as Christian, we're not exempt to some of these things in life. We will go through this stuff. Sometimes there's a stigma in church that if you're saved, if you're a believer, you would never feel sad. You would never go through a bad day. I go through bad days. Amen. We all go through that. Talk a little bit about that.
Going through the divorce process is definitely a killer, let's just say that. I really wanted to commit suicide. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. And trying to keep myself together for my children when I would come home, I did not get out of bed for days on end. I did not eat. When my children came home from school, I had to be the mother that I was all along. And I didn't cry in front of them. I cried when I went to bed at nighttime. And I wanted to really, really commit suicide. I would hear voices saying, take your life, you're not good enough. You know, I would get in the car and I really wanted to drive off a bridge or smash into a tree. But on the other hand, I heard, my children, you need to get through this. God did not make you weak. You are stronger than you think. And that's what got me through it. Every day I would pray. I would talk to my best friend, Maria. I call her my sister. And she actually led me to this church. And I was saved by Jesus Christ. And my life has turned around for the better.
I want to take a moment here and just say, she said her friend Maria invited her to church. And that was the first day to the rest of her life. I remember the day you gave your life to Jesus.
Yes.
I'm so passionate about this. I pay attention to people give their lives to Jesus. You came on our second year. No, first year.
We're not first year.
We're not 2 years old yet, right?
You're wishful thinking.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You came to our first year anniversary.
Yes.
And this may freak you out, but you sat two rows in there up there.
Yes.
With your friend Maria and another lady. And you were just so attentive. And when Christopher began to sing here, you just started crying. You just broke down. I'm sure you're wondering why I saw that. I see all that. And you just broke down. And when we did the altar call, you came right and stood right there and gave your life to Jesus.
Yes.
Because of a simple invitation. Come on, I think we need to celebrate your friend Maria.
Yes.
For inviting you to church. Amen. And how has that changed your life? How has giving your life to Jesus been?
It's been unbelievable. I know that I am worthy to live. My children have the best mother possible now. And I believe that there is a better power out there for me. I definitely believe that I'm going to help others that have been through this themselves or going through it. And there is hope at the end of that tunnel. There is light. You will definitely see it. Because I was in darkness, and now I see the light.
And as you know, here at Impact Church, our vision is to empower people to do the work of ministry. Now that she's saved, it's not all about just coming to church and sitting down. And she came to me. She's one of those people who are tapping into our vision here. At this church, we will empower you and train you to do ministry. Tell me what you were just telling me just this week, you know, what God's been saying to you about a small group.
Well, I would like to start a small group with single mothers and divorcees going through the process. I believe that we have a lot to share with one another and to work with, through it. And hopefully someone is in the audience that I have reached today. If it's not one or two, you know, hopefully you'll come to the I-group that, you know, we can talk things out. And there is hope at the end of the tunnel.
Amen. Awesome. Come on, let's appreciate it. Wow. Amen. So we're going to begin the process of training her and developing a curriculum. And hopefully sometime this summer or in the fall, we're going to launch this group for single mothers who can come together, because we want to be a blessing to you. We want to make impact in your lives. Come on, if you've been blessed by her story, come on, let's celebrate her. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, before you leave, is there anything else you'd like to say and just share, and then I'll release you? Anything you'd like to say?
I want to say thank you for letting me share my story, and thank you.
Awesome. This was awesome. Come on, let's stand and appreciate her. Great job, Alexandra. Come on, we can do better than that. Awesome. Woo! Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. You may be seated. I'm going to take a little time here, the next 10 minutes or so, and talk to you about the power of an invitation. Somebody say there's power in an invitation. Ah. A simple invitation like that has changed a life forever. Her friend Maria invited her to this church. I want to read a post that Alexandria put on our Facebook. By the way, please check out our Impact Facebook once in a while, okay? And sign in and post and share with other people. Today was my first time experiencing Impact Church. I felt truly blessed from the time I walked through the front door and still feeling the love of Jesus with me. The inspiring messages from Pastor Zenzo, the music, the love, and let me go here. And a special guest, Christopher Duffley, singing opened the eyes of my heart, an experience I will never forget. Thank you to my friend Maria Morocco for inviting me. I will be back next Sunday. Blessings to all. Amen. People of God, that's the power of an invitation. That's the power of an invitation. Let's read one scripture here. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. What a story. What a story. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. He said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. This is a parable that Jesus was telling. And in the parable, there was a rich man who threw a party and told his servants, he said, go and invite as many people as possible. Go and invite all these special guests, the upper crust of the community and the prestigious and dignified people. And for some reason, all these dignified people started giving excuses as to why they couldn't show up for the party. So the master said, okay, now go into the streets again and go invite the blind and the lame. Just invite anybody you can get. Bring them to the house because we need to throw a party here. I've got food. I've got space. Bring them here. And they went out and got the lame and the blind, brought them into the house. But the house was still not filled. And so he said to them, please go back out again and compel them so that the house may be filled. Somebody shout compel. One more time, say compel. People of God, Impact Church, I want you to know that God wants you to go out and compel people so that his house would be filled. Because when the house of God is filled, it represents lives like Alexandria who are being changed and transformed, destinies that are being changed and transformed, lives that are being transformed and impacted. So turn to your neighbor and tell them, compel people to church. Invite people to church. The church will not be filled unless you compel them. The church will not be filled unless you do your part, compel somebody. So as we finish here, I'm going to give you three Greek words that stand for this word compel, so that we can study and learn and go deeper in this place today. Somebody may be asking, Pastor, why are you speaking in Greek? Why are you teaching us Greek words? Well, it's because the Bible was not written in English. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And so if you're going to understand the Word of God very well, you've got to go back to the original languages. One more time, somebody say compel. The first word I want to give you is called anakazo. Somebody say anakazo. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you're speaking good Greek. Hallelujah. Oh, your wife is Greek. Oh, wonderful. Anakazo. It's the only Greek word I know. Anakazo. Well, anakazo simply means to consistently persuade. Consistently persuade. Please say that with me. When I came into this nation and I got my first phone, I went into the mall one day, and this guy wanted me to give him his, you know, my information. And my sister was like, Zenzo, don't do that. I was like, no, I just got a phone. Nobody knows me. I want people calling me. So, yeah, bad idea, right? Because the next day I had 20 telemarketers calling me. There was this particular telemarketer who was calling me every single day. I got to know his wife's name or his kid's name. He would call me day after day. We'd chat about the weather. And every time he would ask me, so do you want to buy these thermals? He was selling thermals. You guys know what thermals are? So, and it was in the middle of summer, by the way. And so I'm chatting with this guy every single day. I'm just happy. I'm in America. I don't know anybody. And this telemarketer is calling me. He's my friend. But at the end of the conversation, every day he would say to me, so do you want to buy the thermals now? And I'd be like, no, buddy, not today. But there was one thing I realized about these telemarketers. He wasn't bothered by my no. Because in marketing, what people are really mostly interested in, they know that the first thing, the most important thing is not so much that you buy their product. The most important thing in business is simply the fact that they want to introduce you to their product. And if they introduce you to their product, and if they tell you what it does, and if you're looking for the benefits of that product, then you will buy the product. I want you to know that the reason most believers don't preach to people, the reason most believers don't know how to invite their unsaved loved ones to church, is because you are scared of the word no. I want you to know, if you're going to win souls, you've got to be like a telemarketer. It's okay if they say no. As long as you give them the information, it's just a matter of time before they say yes. I want to give you a tweet. Can I give you a tweet? Because somebody said no to going to church today doesn't mean they'll say no tomorrow. It's okay. Most people are scared. You know, tell them about Impact Church. What I love about our church is that we give you material to help you invite people to church. Please don't put this in your car. Please don't collect this. Don't buy a little album and put this in there. Bring this to somebody and say, I want to invite you to church. The first time you do that, they'll say no. Of course. Can you just imagine inviting somebody to come to a school building that you call a church? Where there's music, all kinds of different people, Latinos and Brazilians and white people and Italian people, all people singing. There's a good-looking African guy with an exotic accent preaching. It's a stretch. It's asking for too much. So they'll say no the first time, but as long as you put this in their hands, you're going somewhere. So anakazo them. Somebody say anakazo. Consistently persuade them. The second word I want to give you, and by the way, somebody say by the way. Today we have a new selfie banner in that lobby that says Easter at Impact Church. I want you to stop by that banner before you leave today. Take a selfie. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you can take a selfie. take a selfie, post it on your Facebook, on your Instagram, and say, come to church with me. Come to Impact Church and tag us, okay? How many people are going to listen to your pastor right here? Right. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. For the rest of your father, forgive him. How many people don't have a Facebook account in here? Keep your hands up. Father, forgive them. We're going to do an altar call today. I want you to know that Facebook is the new largest country in the world. The largest nation today technically in the world is China, 1.3 billion people. The second largest nation in the world is India, 1.2 billion people. But there's 1.7 billion people on Facebook. Facebook is now officially the largest country in the world. If you want to reach people, you need to be where people are. And the church said, the second Greek word I want to give you is biazo. Somebody say biazo. Come on, you got to do it like Greek, like a Greek. Biazo. Biazo has a little oomph. It's got an oomph. Now, to biazo is to aggressively persuade. To biazo is to aggressively persuade. I'll never forget the first time I was 13 years old and I walked into this room accidentally in my school. My parents sent me to a private school because they didn't want me exposed to some of the things that happened in public schools. But truth be told, I think there were more crazy kids in private school than in public school. Because there's one thing about young kids sinning, and it's a whole other level of sin when kids sin and they've got money. And I remember walking into this room, and there was about 8 kids, and they were just kissing. And I remember my heart was broken. I was shaking. I was like, oh, my God, what is this? It's my first time seeing kids my age kissing. Yes, I was 13. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. And one of the girls jumped and said, you need to come in here. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. So you need to come in here now. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, you are a beautiful soul, and I've been praying that you'd come in here one of these days. I remember thinking, oh, my gosh. She said, you need to come in here now. Just try it out, and you will like it. You will like it. Ah. Isn't it crazy that sinful people have no problems aggressively compelling people and pushing people to do crazy things? And why are we shy as a church people? There are people out there who, I remember when I used to work, guys invited me, hey, man, after work, we're hanging out at the strip club, man, you need to come, man, there's a stripper there called Strawberry Milk, you need to come over there, dude, it's going to be awesome, it's going to be, you need to come, dude, we're going to get wasted tonight, it's going to be crazy. I was like, I don't want to meet Strawberry Milk. But isn't it crazy that worldly people who sin and do crazy stuff have no problems compelling people? And as a church, we can't invite people. We live in a generation where you can talk about politics and sexual orientation and anything, but you can't talk about church. And I refuse to be boxed in Jesus' name. Come on, can I get a witness in this place? Can I get a witness in this place? Corporations are pumping millions upon millions of dollars in commercials. Commercials on cognac. You need to get this best cognac and C-Rock. And they advertise all this stuff. Yet every single year, there's thousands upon thousands of people that die because of drunk driving. There's people, marriages that are broken, families that are broken because of alcohol, but they don't stop. They put more money into that. So I just really believe that as Christians, we have an even greater reason to be forceful about our message because Jesus changes lives for the better. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh. So when he said go and compel them, he was saying you need to go and biazo some of those people. I watched a video one time and there was this drunk homeless guy carrying all this stuff with him, and he was just staggering, and he was passing through these train tracks, and for some reason he dropped his stuff and he's staggering and he didn't see that there was a train coming, and close to him were some people working in construction. They started yelling at the guy, dude, get off the train tracks, get off there, get off there, and quickly they realized that this guy was out. He was so drunk he didn't hear the train, he didn't even hear them. So these construction guys decided, man, we're gonna do something about this. They started running. At this point, they're chasing the train. And just before this guy was crushed, just staggering, doesn't know what's going on, one of these construction guys, he was a hero. He jumped and just tackled this guy off the train tracks. Now, I thought this drunkard would start thanking the guy. He was so drunk, he didn't even know what happened. I mean, the construction guy was shaking. He was literally shaking. They almost both got crushed. He's shaking. He's scared. And the drunkard is just looking around like, what just happened? Doesn't even know to say thank you because he doesn't know what's happening to him. I'm here to tell you that some of the people in your lives are so drunk with life, so broken. They're in a self-destruction mode. Some of those people, you need to piazza them. You need to tackle them into the kingdom of God. Some of them, you need to go to them and say, I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm bringing you to church. You're coming to church with me. I'm done watching you destroy your life. I'm done watching you do all that kind of stuff. I'm going to take you to church and you're coming to church with me, and I'm not taking no for an answer because I want to save your life. You need to piazza them. Come on, if we're going to clap, let's do it together for Jesus. Let's do it for Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 11:12, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent shall take it by force. There's some people in your life, you need to just be out of them. They don't even know, like that drunkard. They're killing themselves. They're going to die without even knowing what killed them. And we can't sit by here and watch them and not say anything. The last word that I want to give you is called anaidia. Somebody say anaidia. One more time, anaidia. Now, anaidia is to shamelessly and boldly persuade. Shamelessly and boldly persuade. It's like being a good car salesman. It's like being a good car salesman. I know it's an oxymoron, but here's the thing. You know this for a fact. That car salesman will talk to you, they'll sweet talk you, but at the end of the day, they want to close the deal. And as Christians, we need to know how to close the deal. I think it's sad when people come to you as a believer and say, man, I'm struggling. I can't sleep in the night. I'm depressed. Life is miserable. Things are crazy. And as a Christian, you just say to them, hey, man, I hope you get better. Are you kidding me? You need to anaidia them. You need to look at them and say, listen, I know something that can fix you. I know someone that can heal you and change your life. I know someone that can break that curse. You're talking about a 12-step program. I know a one-step program that will heal you and rehabilitate you. Take those drugs out of your system, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You need to learn how to close the deal. I win many people for Christ. I don't ride an Uber, I don't sit in a bus, I don't sit in an airplane without winning people for Christ. If you sit with me in an airplane, you're coming to Christ Jesus with me. Why? Because I know how to anaidia. I know how to take opportunities. And this happens all the time. You start to talk to people long enough and just ask them, how are you doing? They'll start to tell you all their problems. And stop, stretch out your hand and say, I want to pray with you now. I don't even ask, can I pray with you? I say, I'm going to pray with you now. And I've never met somebody who refuses prayer. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. And I hold their back and I pray anyway. I'm African. I can get away with some things. Just play dumb a little bit. Father, in Jesus' name I pray. I cast out the devil in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. Whatever it takes to win souls for Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. I am determined. I am determined. When the day comes for me to be rolled in their casket in this place, that you're going to celebrate, because I'm not going down by myself. I'm bringing many to Christ, to heaven with me, in the name of Jesus. Please stand if you can. Please stand. Please stand. Somebody say anakazo. Say biazo. Say anaidia. These are principles that you can use in your life, in every area of life. The reason some of you are not excelling in your businesses is because you don't understand the principle of anakazo. You start that business and you consistently persuade and you consistently do it and not quit, you'll be successful. Some of you walked away way too quickly because you don't know how to honor Kadzo. And some of you don't know how to be Hadzo. You're in business. Sometimes you have to make an aggressive move. You have to make an aggressive move. Do something you've never done before drastically so you can shift your business, shift your life. I'm speaking to business people. There are people, business ideas right now in this place. Don't hold back any longer. It's time for you to step into it and do it again. Pastor, I failed yesterday. Go and do it again. Go and do it again. I failed again. Go and do it again. This time, Biazo, do something aggressive. And then lastly, Anaida, take the opportunities. Seize the opportunity. Carpe diem, seize the opportunity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Impact Church, we're going to practice what we're teaching here. On Easter Sunday, we're going to two services. It's a biazo. It's an aggressive move. It's a bold move because we want to compel people to Christ. The first service is going to be at 10 a.m. and it's going to be an hour service from 10 to 11. And the second service is going to run from 11:30 to 12:45. And somebody's thinking, Pastor, but there might be open seats in here. There might be empty seats. I am celebrating the empty seats because that seat just represents another seat that we just opened up for somebody else who doesn't know Jesus to come and meet Jesus. So here's what I need you to do, Impact. When you come in this church and you see some empty seats, celebrate those seats and go and compel somebody. Anakadzo somebody. Biazo somebody. Anaidia somebody into the house of God. There's power in an invitation because Maria invited Andrea. Alexandria, I just called you Andrea. A woman who was broken in darkness just got divorced. Couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Because of that one invitation, her life has been changed forever. So here's the question. What am I going to do? Five things. Number one, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit who you need to target this Easter. Ask the Holy Spirit who you need to target this Easter. Number two, write their name down. Write it somewhere. Number three, pray for them. Put a reminder in your phone. Pray for them daily. Number four, invite them to church. Close the deal. Number five, offer to give them a ride. Be ads of them. I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm going to run you and overturn you and just tackle you off this train tracks because I want you to give your life to Jesus. And invite them here to these two services. We're going to see the greatest salvation of souls in this place, in this month, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's celebrate in advance. Thank you. Thank you for my auntie. Thank you for my uncle. Thank you for my mother who's going to come in this place and be saved in Jesus' name. You know why? Because the cross of Jesus has the final word. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody celebrate. We thank you, Jesus. The cross has the final word.
There's nothing